Okay, welcome back. Michael Bartley in for Larry Richard on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio, KDKA. So, Corey O'Connor made the big announcement yesterday. Corey joins me now live. And, Corey, I don't know if you were listening, but Rich Fitzgerald and I talked about you for the last half hour. This is going to be fascinating. Tell me, since yesterday morning, your announcement, and I thought you came out with guns blazing. I really did. Talking about managing decline in the city. Tell me what the reaction has been for you.
I think it's been great. You know, I want to thank the listeners and everybody who reached out yesterday when I was on a number of shows, and the amount of people that showed up to our two events. Luckily, nobody called the fire marshal because we were
at
full capacity at both places. Yeah, so 412 Cafe, thank you to those individuals as well as everybody at the Bulldog Cafe. But yeah, we're getting a good response because I think we're talking about issues about the future and where we need to take Pittsburgh. And if we don't do something immediately, we're all in a lot of trouble. And I think that's the visionary conversation that I'd like to have. And it's the simple stuff, investing in neighborhoods, investing in people, you know, providing, amplifying people the best opportunity to grow in Pittsburgh. And that's the conversation I want to have.
And of course, I'll have Ed Gainey on the air coming up down the road. But Corey, what does managing decline mean?
I mean, you just see it even in the 4 or 5 year budget. It just shows real estate declining. You know, to me, you're just cutting here and cutting there and putting out, you know, budgets that show a tax that we're not guaranteed because it's in court. You know, you're not being upfront with the issues that we're having. And if we keep going in this direction, I mean, we're sleepwalking into another Act 47. And I think that's what's very scary about this situation. And I think, you know, my 11 years on council with my colleagues helping to stabilize the city and get out of Act 47, you see where there's a lot of wasteful spending, as well as my role as the controller. I think I bring that to the table, too, to say, look, let's start investing in something that's going to help us grow. A $6 million planning study across the city, put that $6 million into investing in neighborhoods and having site shovel ready for economic development, for new housing. You know, that's how we're going to grow Pittsburgh, not having an outside the state agency come in and tell us what they know about Pittsburgh. We know about Pittsburgh. Pittsburghers know what they need in their communities. That's a study. Go out and talk to the neighbors and the residents. That's how you'll figure out how to rebuild Pittsburgh.
The neighborhoods are one thing. Downtown's another. Do you think downtown is in trouble, and if so, what's your plan for downtown?
It is right now, but I think what you see is vacant space, and I see that as opportunity. Yes, there are, you know, I want to thank Governor Shapiro. Governor Shapiro cares enough about Pittsburgh that he saw we had an issue, and he came in to bail us out with $62 million. And I think, you know, you have partnerships at the state, at the federal level, so that you can invest back in downtown, but you also have to look at that vacant space and see opportunity for new startups, for young entrepreneurs to stake their claim in downtown, and let's partner with them. You know, I was in a community the other day, and one gentleman said, I would love to be in downtown with my storefront, but it's hard for me because I have to take two buses to get there, or I can't pay for parking. Let's incentivize parking for companies, for people that want to be down there, at least to get your head above water, and then you can renegotiate. But if you offer somebody their dream to be downtown, and if the Pittsburgh, and if the city of Pittsburgh is forward-thinking and offers them incentives, you'll get people downtown. And you have to make sure it's vibrant so that they want to be there.
Do you think downtown is unsafe?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think obviously the images, and I know that, you know, there are car break-ins and thefts and things like that that are skyrocketing in the city. I think for us collectively, we have to have an image that it is safe downtown. And I think it starts with public safety. You know, you have more presence downtown so that people feel safe until you get out of this funk that we're in. But it also starts at the top with public safety. You know, when the top cop of this city is allowed to make a backroom deal with our mayor that he is allowed to referee Big Ten basketball games, lie to the public enrich his pension and leave with our tax dollars, that really hurts the morale and the image of public safety because you don't know who to call. And I think that's something that you cannot allow in a major city like ours. The top cop has to take their job and make that a number one priority. And if I'm elected, whoever I hire as chief is going to make Pittsburgh a full-time commitment, and that's it.
All right, the chief's position is one thing, but you know, I'm going to tell you this. I live on a street with second, third-generation people, and you know, the houses stay in families, and you know exactly where I live. So here's the thing. If I talk to my neighbors, many of them older than I am, it is staffing of the police department up to snuff in terms of what it used to be. Will you follow through with that as it relates to public safety? They want to know if they're calling Zone 4 that the police are there and that they're not scattered all over the city.
Correct. I mean, right now, when you make a call and the zone basically says, hey, we're closed, come back later, you can't do that. You know, you're risking people's lives. So to me, it is recruiting more police, paramedics as well. We're having the same issue. You know, when paramedics are going to calls, some of their ambulances are breaking down to and from calls. That's unacceptable. You know, right now, it's not the conversation of defunding police. This is a defunding public safety in general. We have to invest in these employees so that they want to stay here. You know, you have to have state-of-the-art training facilities. You have to have continuous training for the officers that are there so that they get the best training for continuous work in that field. You know, a lot of our officers come for 60, 70 days, and then they go somewhere else. You know, we have become a training facility, and then they leave. So you have to have the conversation, but that also starts back with the morale. Why should somebody be out there working a shift overnight, running around from one area of the city to the other, and yet the chief of police is allowed to be in California hanging out refereeing a basketball game? If I work in that situation, I'm not going to feel motivated. You know, you have to motivate each and every employee in this city because they represent you, but also they are there to protect the residents, and that is the number one job of a mayor. Make sure our residents are safe, feel safe, they have a clean streets, they have opportunity to grow, and that's not what we're seeing right now.
All right, Corey, hang loose. We have a really short segment coming up. Corey O'Connor is my guest. Stay right there, Corey. Don't worry, I'll be asking Ed Gainey the same questions, so just everybody settle down. Don't worry about it.